You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Stunt Dan gets to be co-founder when Dan's out.
I mean, I changed my name for him. No,
he lives with Valerie. It's like, it's the whole thing. He's method. I can just imagine Dan having to get up in the middle of the night and Stunt Dan just rolling into bed next to him. Like, I would love Stunt Dan anytime Toronto, terrestrial radio asks for Dan in an interview. Just like, put this guy in the Zoom screen and see if they notice.
It made me laugh when you guys had Danny sitting in the seat leaning back from a distance. It looked like it was simply me not paying attention to the show.
Even when he was texting on his belly?
That we're just like, perfect. Lean back and text on your belly.
Yes. Yes.
He was a natural. We gave him like one note and he just looked like you.
But Stunt Dan is a funny conceit. I wish we could throw him.
Stan.
Let's do it this way. Since he just entered the company in a lower position, let's throw him off a building as me. And see, always a funny stunt.
You know what always makes me laugh? The dude on fire. It's just a great gag.
Running around.
He'd be great at that. Danny,
I have a lighter.
Turn him into Super Dave.
I wanted to cover with you guys something that made me laugh, because this is the coarsening of sports coverage in a way that has, throughout my lifetime, totally distorted the relationship between sports writer and athlete. Okay, I am telling you that right now, I'm about to tell you a story that will show you what has happened to sports writing in the last 60 years, and how it used to be a reverent thing. You'd be on the trains 100 years ago with Babe Ruth, and you'd keep all his dirty stuff away so you'd write the mythology. Mm. And now, all these years later, Bob Ryan, as a symbol for sports writing past, a man who I would say, Stugatz, everyone I have ever met in sports, fandom, anywhere, he represents, more than any human being I've encountered, someone who loves sports like no one else I've ever seen. We'll be at the Super Bowl and we'll break away for a Jacksonville college basketball game because he loves sports in a way that's totally unreasonable. Bob Ryan, friend of the show, Boston Globe, esteemed sports writer, at a newspaper that when they had the best sports writers, they were writing about sports in a way that grew up all these guys, the Portnoys, the Bill Simmons, everybody who has come in has come in. Boston Globe was the best sports section in the country, and all they did was feed the Bill Burrs of the world just endless sports interests. Bob Ryan says that he is glad the Celtics did not trade for Kevin Durant. And six decades of sports expertise, his analysis is, quote, "I don't want to win with that shithead."
Welcome to the party. I mean,
that's how hardened it's all gotten. That hardened
Bob Ryan has made it.
This is how James hardened it's all gotten. That Kevin Durant is great, unlike anyone who ever played against Bob Ryan's beloved 60s Celtics. Bill Russell, 2 inches taller and can shoot jumpers from three, or 4 inches taller.
I am happy that Bob has arrived here, but he does realize he's won with assholes before, right?
Not this shithead. He's not saying asshole, it's okay. Shithead.
He's won with shitheads before.
That's a totally different thing. Sorry. I don't want to win with that shithead. And then he elaborates, screw him.
You got to throw that in. You do. Yeah. If you're Bob Bryant. And only if you're Bob Ryan.
That is awesome.
Screw him.
That's where we
Screw
are.
Him.
But he loves sports. Is that where we are? He loves sports. Kevin Durant, nothing makes Bob Ryan happier than the Celtics winning. Not with that shithead. Yeah.
Bob's general disposition and his appearance has made it seem like he's been at the age of not giving an F anymore for 40 years, but now he's actually at the age. We're going to benefit all from it.
We will get Mike Scher's thoughts about this in a second, but first we have to get to now two new segments that we've got with Mike Scher that will be daily here for the rest of time. Don't shake your head at me like that. We will rummage around in his house as a third segment to see if there's anything else we can give away for charity.
Really putting this intern to work.
Yes. It's fast rising promotion is all. More responsibility, more fame. So are you ready with your stat of the day?
Yes, I am ready.
All right.
Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day.
It is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
For the record, as a lifelong Celtics fan, I'll win with that shithead. I'm fine with that.
Exactly.
Shout out to Serena Williams, the greatest of all time, the greatest tennis player who ever lived. She took out the number 2 seed in Annette Contavite last night. She took out the number 2 seed last night as an unranked 40-year-old competitor. Tim Reynolds points out on Twitter that when Serena won her first U.S. Open match, Greg Popovich was 106th on the all-time wins list in the NBA. Tom Brady had not yet thrown his first TD pass for Michigan. LeBron James had not yet made his debut in high school. And Tim Duncan was the reigning NBA Rookie of the Year. Now, I would also add that when Serena won her first U.S. Open match in 1998, last year's winner, Emma Raducanu, was -4 years old. Do you understand how long ago 1998 was? The Jets went 12-4 and won the AFC East in 1998.
Yeah. I remember it.
And in the time between Serena's first and last U.S. Open matches, the last of which has yet to be played, Carlos Beltran made it to the major leagues, played for 20 seasons, retired, became manager of the Mets, was revealed to have banged on a trash can in his final year, was then fired as manager of the Mets, and then 2 more years went by.
That is the greatest one you've done so far. There has not been a better stat of the day than that one. And there will not, I don't think anyone will honor her more than to point out that you're not supposed to be great for that long, but you lost the room. The room hates it.
Tim Reynolds.
Who is that?
Communicado, man. Yeah.
Not friends.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care. The stat is a good stat, and you got to respect. You got to respect the stat.
I make no moral judgments on the people who are providing the stats. I just provide the stats.
The Reach of the Day, a new Reach of the Day. Do we have any imaging for this, or are we just flying by the seat of our pants? Do we have a new Regis Philbin story?
Listen. I'm not doing this. All right. This is so unfair. Here's what happened yesterday. Let me clean this up from yesterday. I provided what I thought was a relevant and enjoyable and humorous anecdote to your little show there. as an intern. And I got, here's what happened. I got mocked and ridiculed and look at me looied by Whittingham for talking about my own family. It's not look at me looied when you talk about your own family.
It can be.
And I'll tell you what, after that happened, I told my very good friend Ted Danson about this and he was incensed.
Yeah, Ted Danson angry. I can't believe it.
This has got to stop with the your little show, all right? Or I'm going to start going after Rutherford Falls. Like, you need to stop.
I'm the one who needs to stop. I'm an unpaid intern. Do you think it's easy to be an unpaid intern for Meadowlark Media to explain to your wife that you have to set your alarm for 5:45 in the morning? So that you can be presentable and showered
and
ready to deliver
stats of the day. Do not say that you're unpaid because you have so much money that Regis Philbin left you. you donate all of your salary. You're not unpaid.
I donate all of my salary to Ron McGill and his little animal thing over there in Miami.
Why are you so condescending, Hollywood big shot?
I take no money. I'm an unpaid intern for this program, and I come on here every morning loyally and provide you with stats and information that I have slaved away.
Courtesy of Tim Reynolds.
Right.
Courtesy of Tim Reynolds, friend of the show, Tim Reynolds.
Speaking of shitheads.
And then what happens? I get yelled at.
No.
What are you doing?
Subtle. You have to be bigger and dumber and louder than everyone else, and you have to go straight to shithead.
Or at least adhere to a reasonable comedic window.
Like, honestly, you can't. You got to be right.
You could have gotten away with that maybe 5 minutes ago.
5 minute major?
Yeah, but even I think it's too far.
It is. And he's called him excommunicado.
I've called him a lot of things.
Like, come on.
I don't want to win. Supper.
I'm with Stugatz. I don't want to win with Tim Reynolds.
Get out of here. Go sit in the penalty box.
Where is it?
Oh, yeah. Lunch
in front of the green screen.
Where is it?
In front of the green screen.
Lunch change since your last penalty.
I wanted to ask you, Mike, about a couple of the things that we were talking about here before when you came on, because I do want the coarsening of the coverage that arrives with Bob Ryan saying, I don't want to win with that shithead as analysis on Kevin Durant. You've watched what sports writing and the gulf between these athletes and fans and the people who cover them have become over the last 20 years. So you make what of Bob dismissing him this way?
Well, I think that sometimes we forget that the guys who cover these cities and these teams are also just fans of those teams. And I think from time to time, the fandom breaks through the journalism. And I don't know, how much do we care about that? I don't know. Like it's kind of weirdly humanizing when one of these folks says something like that, because it's like, yeah, he's just a Celtics fan. That Kevin Durant's a very polarizing figure. I happen to love the guy and I've loved watching him play. And like I said, I would happily win with him. Although I think that the way that the Celtics approach this particular negotiation, from what I've read, seems about right, which is we're not going to give up our entire team. The guy is 33, 34 years old, coming off an Achilles and a knee injury. I don't know. You don't know exactly what he's going to give you. It's a risk, but I don't particularly buy into like the polarizing nature of the player himself. The player himself is great. I would happily win with him for the right price, but I also don't really mind that much. It seems like in keeping with what you and your show has said, your little show over there has said about these journalists, which is, why are we treating this like this is a temple where we worship correctly, as opposed to just a place where a bunch of dum-dums are talking about sports? Like, isn't that good? Don't you want that? A bunch of dum-dums talking about sports?
We're laughing because Stugatz, speaking of dum-dums, Stugatz, you look so broken. He looks so sad.
Also, the difference in his physical appearance in between penalties he's served in that box. A lot of life happened in between penalties, and he has since aged quicker than Cam Newton.
He just stormed. He's about to storm in here to defend himself.
I've gained a lot of weight, a lot of dead shows, man. I can't look at myself on TV
anymore.
Dude,
you have to. We're going to throw up a side-by-side in between penalties. You're going to be jarred.
I thought everyone would be with me on that.
Mike, I find more interesting is the symbolism of all of it. I'm laughing at it, but that Kevin Durant, unprecedented talent, ballet in the sky, Bob Ryan loves basketball, loves all of it, that Kevin Durant in the social media age wouldn't be allowed the mythologies others were allowed, embittered by his addiction to what the feedback sounds like. Unhappy superstar now dismissed as shithead by someone who loves basketball. Like, it all makes me kind of sad in a way I can't help but laugh at.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I also would say that the point that was being made as I was joining you is true, which is like, you only have that opinion about Kevin Durant because you know him more because of the age we live in. Like, I don't think it's the case that all of the guys who played basketball in the 60s and 70s were like super good dudes. You know, like it seems reductive to now be able to apply labels like that to modern players just because they tweet a lot and like feed trolls on Twitter like that. I dare say that he's not in the top 500 worst shitheads to ever play in the NBA.
I'm sorry, Mike. I can't help. I am bursting out laughing every time they put Stugatz on the screen because deterioration has never been funnier.
Stugatz, horrible lighting in there.
You have sent me five texts about the lighting.
It's okay. This is the life of an unpaid intern at Metal Arc. Is you get asked a question and you try to answer it, and then you guys just don't pay attention.
What is the Regis Philbin story of the day?
I'm not going to do this, man. These aren't my stories to tell. This is my family. I'm not going to just mine through my own family anecdotes for your entertainment as you don't even pay attention and laugh at Stugatz in the penalty box.
You wait till you see it, though. You will laugh. You will laugh right, at the side by side.
Stugatz used to look great by comparison. Stugatz of today has done wonders for Stugatz of 4 years ago.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Fans cheer that type of stuff. Tom Brady went down with an Achilles the only time he got hurt in his entire career, and I was fist pumping in my living room at home because the Jets finally had a chance to win a division. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that is one of the most amazing sentences you've ever uttered.
Stugatz.
From the maker of Trust Me, Don't Trust Me comes, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to apologize. You are amazing.
Thank you. I know.
You are a flabbergasting delight. You happen upon genius comedy by accident.
That's my gift.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Ooh, fine.
No! not off air.
I'm just saying, you got lucky.
You can't find me because we haven't started yet.
Mike was on.
We are rolling.
The microphone was on. Roy, yep. What were you saying about blankets earlier? Because I don't know what your thoughts are here, but I did find on vacation while staying at a B&B, I found myself longing for blankets. In being in a strange home that was not my home, if I was going to be somewhere laying around, I was looking for blankets, and I didn't realize blankets were a thing I needed.
Well, a majority of us are married here, so I can tell you this, for example. My wife tends to tuck the blanket under her. So when I have to work on production for Montgomery & Company or Because Miami, or if I have to watch a sporting event that runs late, I get into bed late, it's going to be very difficult to pull the blanket out without waking her up. You guys go through the same thing?
Yeah. I would say this is a sweeping generalization, but most wives steal the blanket from their husbands.
Wow, put it on the poll, Chris Cody. Do most wives steal the blankets from their husbands?
Guys, I have something to say. I'm a blanket stealer.
No!
Yeah,
no,
that's what no! I do a crocodile roll with a blanket, right?
No!
You have it in front of you, and then I spin over, get that elbow in, and make sure that I pivot it under me.
Super inconsiderate.
Yeah, I am.
Super. Yes, it's just one of the. It's just one of the things that you have to eat. One of the things. Am I right, fellas?
Hey.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
My wife and I used to fight a lot about the blankets, like throughout the night, but we recently, my wife switched to a weighted blanket for her. So now I have the whole comforter to myself. It is a delight, fellas. Get your wife or your spouse
you deserve it,
a weighted blanket.
Yes.
Because then you get your own blanket and it's just delightful.
Mike, you were lamenting a couple of weeks ago the airport lounge and how crowded it had gotten. And now I've seen that articles are being written that the elitists who pay for airport lounge amenities to get away from just how crazy it is to travel right now, that the rooms have been overpopulated by credit cards giving so many rewards that what used to be an elite access that you had to pay for is now every bumble from Idaho is
bumble.
Every bumble from Idaho Obama. Is in the elite area because you're
everyone has access now.
It's just another trough where too many people are.
I am not a subscriber to the airport lounges, but I've been told that the Amex one is very good. Because that one has the drinky poos, right?
Oh, my God. It's free drinks, free food. You walk around. You hang out. People throw finger guns at each other.
That is not a thing that happens.
They do that to me. I'm sorry.
That is not something.
To Americans.
I do it to them.
That is not something that has happened to you, that you walk into an airport lounge.
The Amex one.
Do they have the dedicated airline concierge, though, in the Centurion Lounge?
They do. But they have two of them, actually.
But is it specific to an airline?
No, they just help you with whatever. It's like, hey, I'm flying Alaska, or I'm flying American, or I'm flying Delta. They're always.
I've had my regrets, especially when it comes to the free drinks. But having a dedicated, for the airline that I have status with, having a dedicated concierge given the absolute cluster that airline travel's been this year, I find that to be like the most important amenity. Just being able to not be in a line and have someone get me on standby ASAP.
I find it to be the free tequila.
Tony mentioned finger guns. What's the setting in life where you're most likely to give someone like a wave or a finger gun? It's when you're on boats, right?
You have to wave at somebody on a boat.
Yeah. I just can't not. Yeah. I see a boat passing and I just am like, hey.
Head nod for me. head nod central is the gym.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Why is it a head nod?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say just general finger guns. For me, it's when I'm watching Jeopardy. I do the finger guns at the TV whenever I get the answer right.
Wow.
The question right.
Really?
Such a dork.
What is lame?
You have a... That was great by Roy.
On the top rope.
Great answer by you.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
Do you have like a TV dinner in front of you while you're doing this?
A cake cuisine.
A little aluminum tray with sand mashed potatoes.
His nighttime slippers.
A little hungry man.
A sleeping cap.
TV guide.
And
it's
a tray.
7:30, baby. Tray. My night just got wild.
Ooh, TCM's doing a Billy Wilder night.
Ooh.
Look at what's coming up. Boat and Potables.
Oh, I love Boat and Potables.
Potpourri.
What is lame was such a good joke.
As as television Stugatz changes beyond Jeopardy, what do you make?
I thought you just meant like as television Stugatz because of his appearance.
Thank you.
He's changed a lot too.
Also, how dare you say that television has changed beyond Jeopardy? Jeopardy will live forever.
It will.
It really is.
Fair enough, but what I was going to say is that Amazon is spending $1 billion to make a Lord of the Flies thing that is meant to grab all your...
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, excuse me.
I would love to see a $1 billion budget for Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, that would be interesting. You know?
I'm pretty sure I saw it on January 6th.
Yeah.
If they made $1 billion, Lord, like, humans would have to eat humans if they spent $1 billion on that.
Yeah, cannibalism would be
Actual cannibalism.
$1 billion now Amazon is getting into the content game with a single thing. Like, it's so interesting as a transaction.
Not a single thing. I mean, they spent more on the NFL package, too.
But you understand that.
You're spending $1 billion to make something. It's not $1 billion to consume
for something that's already great.
To buy something that's already great. Yes. You have no promises of anything. Here's $1 billion. Can you get more than $1 billion in subscriptions, because people will have to see, because Amazon Prime hasn't, we've talked about this, Fleabag and some others, but they haven't had a monster popular Ted Lasso thing, and you're competing against Apple. I just can't believe that we've gotten into studio prices already we got here this fast with television, where we just got used to, the actors are going over to television to make 8-hour movies that are in installments instead of 2-hour movies. We just got here, and now here's $1 billion to just make something costume, just make something epic. Here's Amazon spilling some change off the side of the ocean liner that they have, because they make more than that daily.
I mean, the rise of Amazon, this is just the start of them infiltrating every bit of your life. And to a degree, the pandemic kind of fast tracked it. We were already headed there, but everything is going to be three companies in the end. It's just all going to be Google. It's all going to be Apple. It's all going to be Amazon. Every living thing. This book company is now giving you your groceries. This book company is now giving you your football. It is giving you your big budget epics. It is everywhere and always listening.
For me, with Amazon, the thing that I sometimes struggle to understand is they're spending all this money, but they're in search of Prime subscriptions, right? So people who don't already have Amazon Prime would then get Amazon Prime to watch The Lord of the Rings, to watch the NFL, as Stugatz said. They already have so many of us. I think they have something like 80 million subscriptions to Amazon Prime. Like, it's interesting because people are talking about how Amazon Prime might struggle to recreate the amount of viewership for the NFL that cable channels have, but now basically the same number of people have cable as they do Amazon Prime. And so I don't know what new markets you're going and finding by making this big of a show, or you're just trying to provide value to your customers. But that's a huge amount of money to just provide value to customers.
But with the NFL, you know the product is good. It's reliable. You know it's going to be good. You don't know that about Lord of the Rings, right? Like, I know it's established. I know it's got credibility, but you have no idea.
Massive fan base that's going to try it.
For $1 billion, you better be pretty damn sure.
Right.
You remember RoboCop, right? Yeah, you remember the company on the movie called OCP, Omni Consumer Products, right? That's Amazon now. They're making everything for everybody. And that's what's happening. The OCP.
Yeah. I don't know what OCP is.
Well, it's that's why he takes such principal stands against Apple and goes to Google, because he's the underdog that's always rooting for the little guy. And he won't subscribe to the major corporate domination that is the three corporation system.
Are you guys not flabbergasted, Stugatz, by Amazon becoming a major motion picture studio so large that there's this a little project on the side here is $1 billion, and they don't actually have to recoup their money because of the way the building, the thing is structured. So when Mike says, how many more are you going to get? It doesn't even matter if they get $1 billion worth, as long as they keep...
Because of their other revenue streams?
Well, you just keep getting people so that Amazon becomes what Apple is, which is something that every month you've got charges on your phone and you don't know where they've come from. You just owe Apple something because we all owe Apple something, and Amazon's like, we want you to owe us something too. We will continue. You can continue to ruin the environment by ordering something that costs 99 cents, and we will get it to you in one day, even though it's in no way efficient from China.
I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that someday in our lifetimes, there's just an Amazon fee that is taken out of our check. Like, just to subscribe to life.
Like taxes?
Yeah, like, okay, well, Amazon gets 3% of your income. You covered everything.
I'd go a step further. They get, like, 3% of your future child's freedom. Like, I think you've got, I've got it being much more apocalyptic than you do.
I'm far more beholden to Amazon. They don't actually have to enter a contract. They've got most of my freedom already.
Not just your freedom. They're coming for your children next. Like
I think 3% is low.
The
earnings report shows that they've got you and your freedom already. It's now your children they want.
If I have another child, it's Alexa.
Don Libertard.
Dave Coulier is with us. Did you see the Shandling documentary Judd Apatow did?
Stugatz.
Yeah, I was in it.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
Are the rest of you like me, whether it's Serena Williams, Tom Brady, even LeBron James, that the aging of athletes has changed so much with training, with science, with the amount of money involved, with the investments in their body, that I am less surprised than I should be when Terrell Owens at 47 years old clocks in at 4.38 in a 40, 4.38. And I'm just like, how has aging changed so much that at 37 before it, all athletes were done. 37 years
most
old.
Most athletes.
I mean, but with very few exceptions, 37 years old. You're not allowed to be great into your 40s. I'm looking at Terrell Owens. I'm like, that could absolutely help someone at 47 years old. That could go out there and make catches at 47 years old. That's it. And a wide receiver, I saw Jerry Rice do it into his early 40s, but with a vastly different body type. And if Billy were here, Stugatz, he would be telling you, because LeBron James was watching Serena Williams last night on television. Tiger Woods was in attendance as we celebrate what might be the end of a dominance during a very difficult time that withstood enormous and unfair criticism as Compton and the Country Club bum-rushed the purity of Chris Everett and Martina Navratilova playing patty cake. And it scared people, and Richard Williams made a mess of the proceedings, and Serena Williams is one of the most epic stories in the history of all athleticism, and beyond that, an echoing pioneer of strength and longevity that doesn't have precedence anywhere in sports, even as the science makes it so that Tom Brady can play till 45.
Especially that sport.
As a mother, like just the dominance of obliterating as Federer and Nadal, as Djokovic, as they couldn't decide who was best. There was no question on the other side. Total and sheer annihilation of everyone, including her sister, and the most uncommon story that somehow emerges not just from Compton, but from the same womb. Her greatest challenger was only her sister. They were so much different than everything. They were impacting and changing, and no one has yet been able to catch up, and she's 40. She's bleeping 40. She's a mom. She's tired, and when she's asked to explain it, I'm just Serena, because we know what she means. Because, yep, you're just better than everybody and have been for 20 goddamn years in a way that just doesn't even make sense in the lonely sports, Stugatz. They eat up these kids as teens. You can't survive this. You can't survive. You're in your early 20s, you're done because it's too much pressure. Osaka's coming for the mantle, and it's not possible. You're not going to replace her. No, there is no thing.
We'll never see anything like Serena again. We won't. The funny thing about what you just said, and you're right, is when they started out, the thought was Venus was going to be Serena Williams. Like, she would get this ending, because the thought was that Venus was going to be the best of the two of them. And Richard kept trying to tell people that Serena was going to be the best. And then Venus really, for Serena wasn't competition. There was no competition. There is no competition. I think she's one of the most important and greatest athletes in any sport that we've ever seen. I mean, it's amazing. Because, Dan, I'm telling you, Venus was the story, and then Serena became the story. And Venus was really no competition for Serena.
Venus was just first. All she was first.
But Venus has won 5 Wimbledons and I think 3 U.S. Opens.
Wimbledon.
Wimbledons. But she's won 5 of them and 3 U.S. Opens. And she's not even close to Serena Williams. She's had a great career by anyone's account. And Serena's had the greatest career. But she's changed the sport. She really has.
When you say,
and I'm happy to see what she's getting right now because she deserves it.
When you say that Venus was supposed to get this ending, there is no such thing as this ending. Before her, this ending is not allowed to be. Woman at 40 years old coming to an emotional U.S. Open who can summon something from the past that we all know is good enough to beat the second-ranked player in the world in a sport that is for young people. It's not like Federer's old. He's not. This 40 years old and a mom on the body. Like, do you know how hard what she's done is? It's the degree of difficulty on it, and she's obliterated it because we don't know between Nadal and Federer and Djokovic who's better. No, she's been better than all those young people in a competitive environment who want her stuff, and it's always no. In a young person sport, 40, get out of here. I hope that you appreciate. I know we're cruel and Kevin Durant's a shithead. I hope that you can, and LeBron will criticize him. You're not Michael. I hope that you can appreciate the pioneering excellence that you got to enjoy. And I hope you can say goodbye correctly here with the emotional stuff that somebody with only her champions
you
will.
You hope. God, the goodbyes have been
amazing.
Borderline absurd.
Yes.
Like, they've been lasting as long as a goddamn match. Enough already.
Really?
Like, you could tell that they didn't think that she was going to go far in this tournament because they had, like, so many tributes lined up for the first round. And then the second round, they had a narration by Oprah. They couldn't have possibly sashed that much content in the can for a third round appearance. I'm almost curious.
They're scrambling right now.
I've got Tiger doing one right now. Like Tiger Woods is in the lab
think LeBron's
right now.
Up to something. Obama's Michael next. Jordan Obama. Probably. Yeah,
there's Evan Obama for the definitely. Final.
Yeah. Oh, but Whittingham whispered in my ear, and Whittingham's got. There are some things that Whittingham doesn't want to say around Mike to hurt his feelings or anything. So I get a little private show here in my ears, and Whittingham just says, guess who bet against Serena last night?
First two rounds, actually.
Because you heard it. He's like, enough with the Serena montages because Mike goes down in misery betting against history. It's worse than a bad beat, I'm telling you. In gambling, it's worse. To be the guy who can't enjoy everyone else's joy because you're the idiot who faded Serena. Faded the feel-good moment.
I didn't fade her first round.
You bet against
you faded the greatest tennis player that's ever lived.
I faded second round.
Feel-good.
That's right. He's the asshole who fades feel good. What? They're not going to
fading feel good over the last couple of years.
Twitter's too happy right now. What can I do?
No. What happened was it was gambling, but it wasn't because I was gambling on Serena. It was because it was still occupying the screen on ESPN1 where I have Berrettini.
Berrettini.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.